Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shir B'tochein, Shir number 29, and we're in Perek Dalid, fourth Perek. We're going to talk about B'tochein in relation to people, when you're together with people, and then B'tochein in relation to when you are alone, or your life is a lonely, alone life. Avol Pirush HaChelek HaShlishi, the third part of B'tochein Heimin Yoni Ishto Yabona, person's relationship to the world in general, which includes one's wife, one's children, bnei beis hakrayvav, household members, relatives, ayhavav, ayoyvav, enemies and friends, makir miyudov, colleagues and acquaintances, ashalamala mimenu, people who are above you in superiority, let's say in authority or power, ashalamata mimenu, people are below you, mikitas bnei adam, various classes of people. I finally, yoyshar b'tochein elokim b'hem kasher asapra, I'm going to explain the proper way of relying on Hashem regarding the relationships you have with all these people. Person who cannot avoid being into one of the following situations. Number one is she yinachri, that he's a stranger living alone. Or he lives among family and relatives. Each one requires a separate type of behavior. How should he react in these situations? So the idea being here is, by the way, even a person who has Baruch Hashem, family and relatives, there are situations in Matzavim where he is alone or she is alone as well. And then there are people that are intrinsically more alone. So when he feels desolate and forsaken, Hashem will be his companion. So if you are alone, it's an opportunity to remind yourself that you're not really alone. You're with Hashem all the time. And when people are together with family and friends, sometimes people tend to forget about Hashem. So in a certain way, a man who is more alone, a woman who is more alone, is more likely to realize Hashem is always with them. The yiftach ala b'gei rusa, you should place trust in Hashem even while being a stranger in the place where you are. The yala ali b'geiris hanefesh b'lamazeh, find consolation in the awareness that a soul is always a stranger in this world. We are all strangers in this world. By the way, this is a good contemplation, even when Baruch Hashem, you are worthy that you have a lot of friends and family members. But in a certain sense, you are alone. And that shouldn't make you sad. It should increase your b'tochein to recognize that ultimately it's only Hashem that you truly rely on. The people of this world are like strangers to each other. They're temporary visitors in this world. Which you're strangers and temporary residents within me. That's why we have the din of Yovel, where a land is not sold forever. Once every 50 years, the Yovel year, the land returns to the original owner. If you bought a stretch of land, you may think you're the rich landowner, but you're told it doesn't belong to you. You have to give it back because Kidli Kala Aretz, the land is mine. The land belongs to Hashem. Everything in the world is nothing but his tenants. So the first thing a person should think of when he's by himself is this. You know, he should take that advantage of that opportunity that affords him as a result of being alone. The Yachshav b'libo, you know, a person who's all alone should reflect in his mind. Ki kol mi sheyesh lekrovim bay, anyone who has relatives or friends, azman muit yoshev nachri baydid, will in a short time be left a solitary stranger. Two people that are married to each other, they're temporary not alone, but one of them goes first, the other one will eventually be left alone. In a large family also. You know, it's sad, but that's the way it is. Especially as one gets older, not everyone should have arichas yam v'shanim, live good, healthy lives. But that's what happens even in the way of the world. Lo yayilu karev leibeng. And when a person's left alone, no relative can help him, no son can help him, leishabi mayachanem, nobody can keep him company forever. It's only temporary. Yachshav achakach, you should reflect on the benefit of bistalkis kovid masan v'chayvasan v'olav. Now, if someone's forced for whatever reason, he doesn't have a family or she doesn't have a family, then they don't have those obligations, and it frees them from that, and they could become closer to Hashem that way. So it is very sad. So, for example, you have people Baruch Hashem that have big mishpachis, then there are others that they don't have children, they are childless, they don't have children, they could choose to adopt if they wish and all that. But the idea being is they could use this aloneness to become closer to Hashem through that. The Yachshav zeh toiva mitoivus habayah love, and that's one of the benefits that Hashem provided for them. His efforts would be easier than him. So in other words, you had certain people, big tzaddikim even, they weren't zeichet to children. And it was min hashamayim, it was a gezeira, whatever it is, they were mekabel it, and they put in all their efforts in doing, learning Torah, doing chesed, and doing these unbelievable things. So this is the attitude of those people that have less friends or less acquaintances, feel all alone in the world. They could really focus and channel their energies to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. And if there's the kind of person who prepares for his, you know, afterlife, he'll have more, his mind more clear, more free of worries, basis by the when he's in seclusion to meditate, without a doubt. In those days, that's what people used to do. So he brings down Hayyaprushim Barchim Karaim Batam Alaharim. People would leave their families for a while to the mountains with the permission of their families, of course, to stay in an isolated place, to be alone with Hashem, to be closer with Him. So he's going to explain that even though this is not the lifestyle that's recommended for a Yid, it's not something that's possible for most people. We need families, we need to grow, it's healthy to have mishpachos and so on and so forth. But again, if someone was alone or is alone in their matziv, they could use that solitude to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to get closer to Him and to increase your betachin in Him. And he brings down Nevi'im were like this. The Nevi'im, when prophecy existed, the prophets, they would leave their homes in Spain and they would be going to seclusion to concentrate on their duties to Hashem. Elio became close to Elisha, found Elisha busy with a plow. 12 pairs of oxen were pulling the plow, and he was in the 12th row. In other words, Elisha was one of those busy pulling the plow. But Elio gave him a slight hint with his finger. Elisha understood him and said, let me kiss my mother and father, and I'll go after you. And Elisha went after Elio and served him. So when Elisha saw Elio Navi beckoning him, he dropped everything and became his Talmud. He stopped plowing the field in the middle of the furrow and ran straight to the Navi. And he didn't go home anymore other than to say goodbye to his parents. He kissed his parents goodbye and went to Elio. And from that point on, he remained in solitude together and they became great. So you see that this model of going into seclusion for people who are able to, sometimes with a family person that gets reshus for a certain period of time, sometimes when a person is that way. And by the way, for all people also, that if they are alone right now, if they are just, you know, the shidduch didn't come yet and you're alone, or chalila, you know, it shouldn't happen to anybody. One's an alman, one's an almana, or there was a divorce situation and you're alone right now, you use that opportunity to become close to Hashem and to connect with Him. There's a famous story with the Alta von Avardek, Rabbi Yosef Yosel Horowitz. He was a family man, head of a great yeshiva. He had a little hut outside the town no one knew except for one person. He used to go there and spend days there. His spider, the seclusion, and Baal Shem Tov also was known to walk in the forest on occasion, remained there for a long time. Great men understood the importance of solitude. That's why the Ovis, there were a lot of them, were shepherds, and they stayed alone a lot in the fields. The Kohen Gadol also, every year, 7 days before Yom Kippur, they did as a hachana for Yom Kippur, that they secluded themselves in their private chamber on the grounds of the Beis HaMikdash to prepare for the Yom HaDin. The Chiddush is, and here's a beautiful opportunity, that you could be in solitude even in a crowd. You could have it even in a crowd by ignoring the crowd, whether you're in the subway and the crowd is around you and you ignore the crowd and you imagine yourself being alone with Hashem. Then you have solitude with Hashem even in the midst of a crowd. Many of our great men have been interested in being alone with Hashem even when it wasn't physically possible. Mentally, they could be alone with Hashem. Now, when one is with family, you can't just do that. There's achrayis, there's ksuba, there's achrayis, there's family things. You have to connect. In some ways, in some situations, if there's another yid there, you want to say shalom aleichem to, or you could be mechaber with him, connect with him, maybe that's healthy. By weddings also, it depends. If you're near good people that you could talk Torah or other things that could create a hava between you two, of course, then you don't, even if you're with a crowd, you join the crowd, you mishtatev in the crowd. But in certain situations where that's not possible, or whatever the case may be, you could, where you don't know anybody and it just seems not to be working out that way, even in that crowd, you're waiting for the chuppah, your meal, whatever it is, you take a sefer or whatever it is, and you could be alone with Hashem even there. There are opportunities for solitude also. Let's say a family goes away for a simcha and the man for some reason doesn't have to go and he's home by himself. Don't waste that opportunity. It's a matana. It's a matana from your daily life to serve Hashem. Shabbos in a certain way is like that. You have some hours that you eat and drink and whatever it is to rest yourself, to sleep. But you also utilize that opportunity to think about yourself and to think of the benefits of your life and how Hashem created the world and what Hashem is doing with his kindness for mankind and to think about how Hashem helped him in his life and use Shabbos as an opportunity for Hakaras HaTov and for learn Torah. Same thing with Yontiv and same thing with nighttime and so on and so forth. And there are situations where there's sleeplessness, for example. You can't fall back asleep. So, tossing and turning. So you think, I'm alone. No one knows that about anything. I'll be alone with Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for everything, and so on and so forth. So I know not falling asleep or people have insomnia, it's very, very difficult. And it is a great deal of suffering. And one should work on it. There's certain over-the-counter medications to help and whatever else that you try to do. But in some cases, just say to yourself, that happens to everybody. They can't sleep for whatever reason. It's a glorious opportunity. I will thank Hashem for bringing me upright, guiding me the right way, able to make a living, that I was able to get married, that I have children, that I'm able to support myself, whatever it is. And lying there while you still can't sleep. Baruch Hashem, I'm well. Baruch Hashem, I'm not a cripple. Baruch Hashem, and you could think about Yetzias Mitzrayim. You could think about Matan Torah. You think about all these beautiful things. Then we have, which we're not going to do the whole Lashon Kodesh over here with it, but he talks about a certain person that went to a certain place to teach people how to serve Hashem. And they all had the same color of their clothing and their graves were near the doors of the home and there was no woman. They asked, what's going on? He said, we wear one color so there shouldn't be a difference between us, between a rich person and a poor person, so that the rich person shouldn't become arrogant and that the poor person shouldn't be humiliated. And we should realize the situation on earth is that we have a grave, you know, in front of us and we're all the same. And so he brings down these stories to show these things and we separate things. So we should connect. We go to them when we need to, but otherwise we connect to Hashem, and we work on our connection to Hashem. So, but the idea being is generally, that's not the Mahalach HaChaim. The Mahalach HaChaim is to be Me'orav in Mabriyais. It's to be together with people. But it does teach you something, though. It does teach you something that you could rejoice with your family, connect with your family, be there for your children, be there for your wife. Of course, you know, we give Shalom Bayashir. We're going to stay now, be in solitude when your wife is there. No, of course not. So there is a beautiful way of connecting with all of them. And all the time. But there is also that idea that at times you are alone, even when you're with them. And at those points, you connect with Hashem. So that is the idea. You know, we want to follow the way of the Torah, a mishpacha life, and so on and so forth. But you make use of that solitude. That is the real idea. You make use of that solitude whenever you can to be alone with Hashem and to connect to Hashem in the most beautiful way. And Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk more about this, of how to have betachin and connect to Hashem when you are in solitude or you happen to be alone in life. And then we're going to talk Be'ez Hashem in the next year, when you are connected to family, also how betachin should work there and in many other instances of concepts of betachin in very practical ways. Bracha v'atzlacha.